evening has been.
Hoping that she'll drop
so
in.
So nice and warm.
Look out the window at that storm.
Your sister will be suspicious.
Gosh, your lips look delicious.
Your brother will be pacing the floor.
Waves upon a tropical shore.
May night. None of this I remember.
Up to your knees out there.
You really been grand.
A thrill when you touch my hair.
But don't
say. How can you do this to me?
There's going to be tomorrow.
Think of my lifelong
At least there'll be plenty implied.
If you caught pneumonia and
I really can't stay.
Oh, baby, don't hold out.
Oh, Betty Garrett really gave Red Skelton a great working over in their car, so maybe it's cold outside. She ended up with him flat on his back in the Davenport. We pause now for station identification.
Well, certainly, this is a spot where an angel would fear to tread. I don't have to be hit by a train. I know I haven't anything big enough to follow that. But I think Charles Brackett has. So once again, ladies and gentlemen, the president of the Academy, Mr. Charles Brackett.
We come now to a series of special awards voted not by the membership, but by the Board of Governors of the Academy. They honor achievements which do not fall into the various categories of the regular awards. At 10 o'clock last night, as our Constitution specified, the Board of Governors met and voted to make several special awards. Before I tell you about them, however, may I read you a letter which I regard as a special award for the Academy itself. The White House, Washington, D.C. Dear Mr. Brackett, on the occasion of the presentation of the Academy Awards for 1949, I'm glad to have the privilege of extending my greetings to the thousands of creative workers who contribute so importantly to the art of the motion picture. We look to them to carry this art to new levels of achievement, knowing that they will bring entertainment and inspiration to millions of our own citizens, and that their product is the chief medium through which other millions of people the world over learn to know our country. I join you in honoring those men and women of the industry who have been selected as deserving of Academy Awards. With sincere regards, Harry S. Truman. Thank you, Mr. President. Now for the first of the special awards. It will be presented by a lady so charming, one can't understand how Paris relinquished her. Miss Micheline Prell.
Thank you. The award I have been asked to present is for the best foreign language motion picture. It goes to that magnificent Italian film, The Bicycle Thief. Dr. Mario Ongaro, the Italian consul in Los Angeles, has accepted the award.
Thank you, Dr. Ungaro and Miss Prell. For our next award, I'm going to ask Ronald Reagan to leave the radio booth long enough to make the presentation.
Ladies and gentlemen, this award goes to a fellow Guild member and Hollywood's best citizen, president of the Motion Picture Relief Fund, and for four very important progressive years, president of this academy. A distinguished radio personality and an actor of Academy Award stature before many of tonight's contestants were born. This Oscar to Gene Herschel. Ladies and gentlemen, on this coming Sunday, it's the 26th of March. It's exactly 44 years ago since I made my first picture, in 1906 in Denmark. It was only a 300-foot feature that took us about 4 hours to make. It's a long, long jump from that 300-foot flash to this magnificent affair tonight. I'm very, very proud of having been privileged to be a member of this industry for so many years. Thank you.
Thank you, Ron. The next special award will be presented by Donald O'Connor.
Thank you very much. Sorry Francis couldn't be with me tonight. But he's home making out his speech for next year. This award is for the best performance by a child actor or actress during the year 1949. It goes to the little boy whose performance in The Window and so dear to my heart enchanted moviegoers and critics alike, Bobby Driscoll. Bobby?
I've been so thrilled in my life. But I want to thank everybody that had to do with me getting this award. I want to thank God for giving me such a wonderful mother and father. Thank you.
Congratulations, Bobby, and thank you, Donald. The next award is a very special one. I'd like a very special person to present it. Miss Ginger Rogers.
Early this morning, the Academy Board of Governors got in touch with me and asked if I'd make this next presentation. Yes, 1,000 times yes. You'll see why when I read this citation. It says, "To Fred Astaire, for the artistry that has brought unique delight to picture audiences and has raised the standards of all musical pictures, in appreciation also of his contributions to techniques vital to the production of this type of film," unquote. I think it's a wonderful citation, but I don't think any citation would completely please the millions of people who have watched Fred Astaire perform. They would want that citation to mention some song he did, some tricky step on a terrace, some sly and satin descent down a staircase. And they'd be right, because in all his years of dancing, I don't think Fred Astaire ever made a movement that did not contain a hint of high art. He not only dignified dancing, as far as I'm concerned, he invented it. About the award is a pretty exciting moment for me, too. In fact, I'm so excited I could do handsprings down Hollywood Boulevard. And I'm sure there are many people here, too, who feel the same way. Also, I'm sure they want to hear from Fred Astaire. He's not in Hollywood tonight. His special award caught him off base. However, he was reached in New York this noon, and right now is supposed to be at the other end of a special Hollywood, New York circuit. Can you hear us, Fred?
Fred Astaire.
Can I hear you? Oh, brother.
Oh. And the music, Fred. Can you hear that, too?
Yes, indeed, I can, Ginger. And, of course, I just don't know what to say. It's wonderful. I'm so thrilled. I'm ready to do handsprings myself down Madison Avenue. I'm very proud and very grateful. And as for you, Ginger, you've been much too gracious. Remember, I've had a partner.
Thanks, Fred, but that's not what it says here on the Oscars. It says in big letters, to Fred Astaire.
Now, for goodness sake, don't let anything happen to it, will you? I'll tell you what, I heard George Murphy on the show. If he's still in the house, would you ask Burke to please accept the award for me? Thanks, Ginger, and God bless you all.
Thank you, Ginger Rogers. Congratulations, Fred. Our next award, I insist on giving myself. It should come under the heading of a pioneer award. But the ageless vitality of the man to whom it's been voted is so extraordinary, none of us can think of him as a pioneer. He was, though, in spades. He was the man who wired his New York bosses that the best place to make pictures in the West was an unknown village near Los Angeles called Hollywood. It's incredible that a man of his youth should have made the first American moving pictures of stirring beauty. How many of you are old enough to remember Maria Rosa and Joan the Woman? They were landmarks. The award might have been voted to him on an entirely different basis. As Mr. Show Business himself, for 37 years he has understood best how to amuse and thrill and entertain the American public. His achievements range from dramatizing the Ten Commandments to discovering the man who became Hopalong Cassidy. It's a beautiful thing never to have been a bore, and he has turned out thunderously entertaining pictures from The Squaw Man to Samson and Delilah. For 37 triumphant years, this Oscar goes to Cecil B. DeMille. As should be the case with a young, energetic producer, Mr. DeMille is out of town preparing a picture. I called him this morning and told him he had been voted an Oscar and who was to accept it. His first comment was, "Could the Academy vote Mrs. DeMille a pair of wings?" This is Mrs. DeMille.
Thank you very much. And I'm very sorry that Mr. DeMille is here, not here, and I know that he would be very sorry and very appreciative of the award.
Thank you, Mrs. DeMille. As no Thalberg Award was voted this year, I can now turn you back to Paul Douglas.
Cole Porter music is the only music in the world with a split personality. For proof, drop by any roadhouse dive on a Saturday night. The people are jammed together, dancing to a Porter tune, and they think he wrote it just for them. Then jump to the St. Regis roof, everybody's at arm's length, and pretty sure Cole wrote the song for them. Well, after 25 years of this, the feeling has spread that Cole Porter is a qualified musician. That's why he's here tonight to make the Music Awards. Mr. Cole Porter.
Hello,
nominations for the best scoring of musical picture are Jolson Sings Again, a Sidney Buckman production, Columbia, Morris Stoloff, and George Duny. Look for the Silver Lining, Warner Brothers, Ray Hindorf, and On the Town, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, Roger Edens, and Lenny Hake. May I have the envelope, please? The winners are Roger Edens and Lenny Hake for On the Town.
Johnny Green, General Director of Music at Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, accepted the awards for Mr. Eden and Mr. Hayden. Mr. Porter.
The nominations for Best Score of a Dramatic or Comedy Picture are Beyond the Forest, Warner Brothers, by Max Steiner, Champion, Screenplays Corporation, United Artists, by Dmitry Tiomkin, and The Heiress, Paramount, by Aaron Copland. The envelope, please. The winner is Aaron Copland for The Heiress.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, another winner is coming up to this handsomely appointed stage. He has been nominated, Aaron Copland, for scores of Mice and Men in 1939, Our Town in 40, and The North Star in 1943.
Louis Lipstone, head of Paramount Music Department, accepted the award for Mr. Copeland.
Now, Mr. Porter.
The nominations for the best song written for and or first used in the motion picture are Baby, It's Cold Outside, from Neptune's Daughter, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Music and lyrics by Frank Lesser. It's a Great Feeling, from It's a Great Feeling, Warner Brothers. Music by Jules Stein, lyrics by Sammy Kahn. Lavender Blue, from So Dear to My Heart, Walt Disney Production, RKO Radio. Music by Elliot Daniel, lyrics by Larry Morey. My Foolish Heart, from My Foolish Heart, Sam Goldwyn Productions, RKO Radio. Music by Victor Young, lyrics by Ned Washington. And Through a Long and Sleepless Night, from Come to the Stable, 20th Century Fox. Music by Alfred Newman, lyrics by Mac Gordon. The envelope, please, Mr. Holbert. The winner is Frank Lesser for Baby, It's Cold Outside.
Ladies and gentlemen, we in the booth have been arguing the merits of our respective songs that we voted for, but I think we're all very happy with this. So beautifully presented tonight. Frank Lesser has had previous nominations for Dolores in 1941, They're Either Too Young or Too Old, I Wish I Didn't Love You So. He's been in the film industry since 1937.
Thank you, Cole Porter, and congratulations, Frank Lesser. On 1942, President Roosevelt announced that the American planes which had just bombed Tokyo had taken off from Shangri-La. The fact that this allusion to a mythical country was instantly clear to people all over the world is a high tribute to its inventor, a man who is to present the writing awards tonight, an Academy Award winner, a distinguished novelist of international standing, Mr. James Hilton.
Thank you, Mr. Douglas. Yes, Shangri-La is indeed a wonderful place for everyone. But for writers, and especially motion picture writers, it has further charms. In Shangri-La, for instance, there are producers who read scripts, and directors who photograph whole scenes without touching a line. And there are actors who insist the play's the thing, and there are agents who insist on only 5%. However, as Mr. Douglas pointed out, it is a mythical country. So, on to the writing awards. Those nominated for the best motion picture story are Come to the Stable, 20th Century Fox. Story by Claire Booth Luce. It Happens Every Spring, 20th Century Fox. Story by Shirley W. Smith and Valentine Davis. Sands of Iwo Jima, Republic. Story by Harry Brown. The Stratton Story, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Story by Douglas Morrow. And White Heat, Warner Brothers. Story by Virginia Kellogg. Now the envelope, please. The winner, Douglas Morrow, for The Stratton Story.
Douglas Morrow wins the first of the important writing awards for The Stratton Story, a great Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer picture. This is Mr. Morrow's first nomination. He was formerly an actor, by the way. I understand he got the idea for The Stratton Story while watching a softball game at the Veterans Hospital near Los Angeles, and he felt something should be done to encourage wheelchair patients.
Now, those nominated for the best screenplay are All the King's Men, a Robert Rossen production, Columbia. Screenplay by Robert Rossen. The Bicycle Thief, De Sica Production Company, Mayor Burstyn, Italian. Screenplay, Cesare Zavattini. Champion Screenplays Corporation, United Artists. Screenplay by Carl Foreman. The Fallen Idol, London Film Productions, Selznick Releasing Organization, British. Screenplay by Graham Greene. And A Letter to Three Wives, 20th Century Fox, screenplay by Joseph L. Mankiewicz. May I have the envelope? The winner, Joseph L. Mankiewicz, for A Letter to Three Wives.
And now here comes Joe Mankiewicz, a very popular choice. You might be interested to know, ladies and gentlemen, that the difference between this and the previous award is that this is for the construction of a screenplay regardless of the original source of the story. It could have been a published novel or short story or anything else. This is only for the construction of a screenplay.
Now, those nominated for the best story and screenplay are Battleground, A Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, story and screenplay by Robert Pirosh. Jolson Sings Again, a Sidney Buckman production, Columbia. Story and screenplay by Sidney Buckman. Paisan, a Roberto Rossellini production. Mayor Burstyn, Italian. Story and screenplay by Alfred Hayes, Federico Fellini, Sergio Amidei, Marcello Pagliaro, and Roberto Rossellini. Passport to Pimlico, J. Arthur Rank, Eagle Lion, British. Story and screenplay by T. E. B. Clark. And The Quiet One, film documents, Mayor Burstyn. Story and screenplay by Helen Levitt, Janice Loeb, and Sidney Myers. Now may we break the seal? Thank you. The winner, Robert Pirosh for Battleground.
Ladies and gentlemen, this particular award is for the writer who developed his own story into the finished screenplay. Quite a task in itself. This is his first nomination. He himself is a veteran of the Battle of Bastogne.
Thank you, Mr. Hilton, and congratulations, Robert Pirosh. As you may have guessed, it has been our aim here tonight to choose our presenters for their fitness for the honor. We also felt that if they were good to look at, that didn't hurt a bit. Now, to present the award for the best achievement in direction, the committee has chosen the best-looking director in town. Stanley Lapina's daughter must have been born wise in the ways of show business, if there's anything at all in heredity. She has lately added writing, directing, and producing to her busy and distinguished career as an actress. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Ida Lapina.
If a genie ever gave me a wish, I think I'd know how I'd like to spend it.
I want my name to be in a list like this. Those nominated for the best achievement in directing are All the King's Men, Robert Rossen Production, Columbia, Robert Rossen. Battleground, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, William A. Wellman. The Fallen Idol, London Film Productions, Selznick Releasing Organization, British, Carol Reed. The heiress, paramount, William Wyler. And a letter to three wives, 20th Century Fox, Joseph L. Mankiewicz. The envelope, please. The winner is Joseph L. Mankiewicz for a letter to three wives.
Although this is Mankiewicz's first nomination for direction, of course, he just got through coming off the stage, accepting an award for the screenplay for Letter to Three Wives.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Lupino. Miss Lupino's name, incidentally, on the membership list of the Screen Directors Guild is Irving Lupino. That way we can keep the same informal tone to our meetings, and there's the building cost to be considered. Ladies and gentlemen, this is something for which nobody, in all honesty, can be prepared. I am not prepared. This is a great honor, and I am deeply appreciative. Thank you.
Thank you, Ida Lupina, and double congratulations to you, Joe Mankiewicz. You know, they gave me a piece of advice before I came to Hollywood. Beware of babies, furry animals, and the old character man. They'll steal every scene they're in. Well, I'm going to introduce to you now someone who isn't a baby, a furry animal, or an old character man, but whose charm, intelligence, and sound knowledge of her business makes every scene she's in her scene. The lady who won last year's award for the best performance by an actress in a supporting role will present the award tonight to the actor whose performance in the supporting role was the voter's choice. Miss Claire Trevor.
Ladies and gentlemen, first of all, let me thank Paul for that wonderful introduction. I hardly recognize myself. I very well remember what it's like to be a nominee waiting. I mean, it's almost unbearable, the suspense. So, you wonderful candidates, I won't keep you waiting any longer. Those nominated for the best performance by a supporting actor are John Ireland in All the King's Men, a Robert Rossen production, Columbia. Dean Jagger in 12 O'Clock High, 20th Century Fox. Arthur Kennedy in Champion, Screenplays Corporation, United Artists. Ralph Richardson in The Heiress, Paramount. And James Whitmore in Battleground, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Now that well-remembered envelope. The winner is Dean Jagger for 12 O'Clock High.
So excited in the booth here, making our bets on the various members, but we're very, very happy about this one. Dean Jagger is a greatly respected member of our profession, and he's played major roles in Missouri Legend and Tobacco Road.
You shouldn't do that much of that.